Hello, and welcome to Mission Artist. Today we'll be hearing from musician and certified music practitioner Lloyd Goldstein. Imagine, if you can, the sight of a double bass player, maybe even two, carting around a hospital, this big bulky instrument, stopping here and there to play for visitors and staff, even going from room to room to play for patients at their bedside. Well, that's pretty much what Lloyd does, and he has quite a following of appreciative fans who have enjoyed experiencing his music at Moffitt Cancer Center, oftentimes capturing and sharing on social media impromptu performances like this one you're hearing in the background of Lloyd and fellow bass player Desmond Bratton. I met Lloyd back in 2014 when I was on my own personal quest into music as a therapeutic form. At the time, my intentions and goals were pretty vague, but friends had led me to Lloyd, a musician like myself who had been in search of a purpose beyond the concert hall. Meeting with Lloyd and seeing the incredible work that he continues to do at Moffitt Cancer Center became one of my main source stories to my own journey. I asked Lloyd to share how he found his path and what was his source story.
I was doing a lot of yoga at the time. I was playing in the Florida Orchestra, and I had met a great teacher named Francois Roboth. And his approach to bass playing was this effortless, full of love and kind of gracefulness. And I had never seen anyone play like that before. So I became obsessed with wanting to understand how he did that. It had a tremendous amount to do with technique and attitude. And during that time, I was doing a lot of yoga and a lot of remaking of my bass playing. And then during my meditations at the end of my yoga sessions, I kept having this kind of message: why don't you go do some volunteer work? Why don't you go play these simple melodies, these little songs that you're writing for other people who might benefit from it? And it just happened that Moffitt Cancer Center was 10 minutes from my house. I have a tendency to hear these messages and then delay acting on them. It took a long time, like a year or more, of kind of hearing this message over and over again, this thought or something, impetus for going and doing some volunteer work. I finally listened to it and went to Moffitt. When I got there, they said I could only play in the lobbies and waiting rooms, that they have this program and that one would have to be certified and qualified to play at the bedside. So I played in the lobbies and waiting rooms and really enjoyed it tremendously. Then I was motivated to do the training. And then after about 2.5 years of volunteering, they had an opening. They offered to me an opening as an artist in residence musician with the arts and medicine program at Moffitt Cancer Center. And I decided after 21 years in the orchestra that this was where I was going to go. I couldn't do both, so I decided to work at Moffitt, and I've been there as a paid employee for 15 years this year.
One of the many things Lloyd introduced to me during our first meeting was the instruction and certification he received from the Music for Healing and Transition program, which allowed him to be able to work with patients one-on-one at the bedside. The idea of being able to provide this service for patients was the lightning bolt hitting the X on my little map, and the concepts of the program Lloyd described were intriguing.
For me, the central concept that was most valuable, aside from many other things, was the idea of entrainment, both physical entrainment and psychological entrainment. They define physical entrainment as something as simple as knowing someone is an at-risk heart patient, for instance, and realizing that it would be advantageous to play music with a steady pulse between 60 and 80 beats per minute in order to support a healthy, regular heartbeat. That was something that I never would have imagined or even thought of. The other aspect, the psychological entrainment, a wonderful example for me is the very first time I played for a hospice patient during my internship during the program before I had graduated. I was briefed by the staff. I got to sit in on their briefing and knew the basic status of each patient in their case. The first person I visited, patient I visited, was severely depressed. He was facing the back wall of the room. He would not make eye contact with anyone, including his wife, who was quite frustrated and distraught and obviously cared about him a great deal. She just wanted to have contact with him, but no one could make contact. And the training told me that I was supposed to meet the patient where they are, not to have a program of what I thought I was going to play or a plan of action, but to meet the person where, as best as I could observe, where they are energetically, emotionally, physically. In this case, I focused on the fact that the man was clinically depressed, and I began with a very kind of a chant-like, almost slightly, something like you would hear a Muslim call to prayer or something kind of a plaintive and in a minor key and without much pulse, no steady rhythm. And this seemed to make a tiny connection. I noticed a little tiny bit of movement. And with each new piece, I changed the parameters just slightly, almost in a way thinking like a Pied Piper, you know, bringing this person along in a certain direction. And little by little, changing one parameter at a time, maybe adding a little more pulse, a little more regular rhythmic feeling, maybe some hints of major keys instead of minor, and so on. With each new change in the music, with each new piece that I played, his head turned a click at a time until he was looking me in the eyes and mouthed the words, "Thank you." His wife had a catharsis at that point, and I realized that this training, I would never have been able to employ that principle or even had an inkling that it would work without that training. And I took it literally, and I never forgot that day, that lesson.
When I first contacted Lloyd, he generously offered to take me on a tour of the Arts and Medicine program at Moffitt. Now, for those of you who have been called to any of the expressive arts, I highly recommend visiting places like Moffitt in person. Seeing people like Lloyd in action and where he does it makes much more of an impact than a simple verbal description can.
Moffitt's program is well over 20 years old, the Arts and Medicine program. I believe that's way ahead of the curve. And this program has been a line item in the budget. It's not grant driven. We're not asked to fundraise, or we're just asked to do the work. We're given a tremendous amount of support and freedom to do the work and trust on the part of the staff. I don't have a quota of patients that I have to see. I get referrals. The referrals are incredibly easy to give and to receive because they don't require someone to fill out a form and a consult. All I need is a name and a room number. And they trust us and our training to provide a service that supports the patient, visitors, and staff, but without complicating things. They're not asking us to do research. It's all about the patient. And this is what I think sets this program apart from other programs that I have, other people I've talked to and other programs. They're not trying to say to gain notoriety. They're not trying to increase fundraising. They're not trying to show cutting edge research about this. They just know it works, and they're willing to support it and to support us.
The Arts and Medicine program at Moffitt was created over 2 decades ago, and it was designed to offer patients and their caregivers therapeutic arts during what can be a devastating time. Keeping in line with the concept of treating the whole person, not just the disease, the program is designed, to use their own words, to inspire, comfort, encourage, and empower, while simultaneously connecting individuals, creating a sense of community with other patients, survivors, and care providers. As a cancer survivor myself, seeing the program and the campus in action simply blew me away, and I walked away determined not just to spread the word, but to try and emulate, on whatever small scale I could, some of the projects they provide.
Well, we have a kind of multifaceted program. It's not where we have a team of people that function as a team and also as individuals. We have an open art studio. At Moffitt, there's limited amount of space on the main campus, and we actually have a coveted piece of real estate in the hospital that could have gone to many other things, and many people wished it at the time that it had. But we have this beautiful space that is for arts and medicine, and it's open from 9:30 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon, and it's staffed by our visual arts artists in residence. And I also occasionally play music there. These are my colleagues. Sometimes we work collaboratively. Sometimes we give presentations together or visit patients even collaboratively occasionally. We have inpatient visits, bedside visits. We have the open art studio. We have an art cart that visits various public areas of the hospital. We have throughout the year various programs that we a diversity program during the holidays. We support an event called Day of Remembrance, which is for families of cancer patients who did not survive, who wish to come together through Moffitt and kind of process their loss. I feel a tremendous sense of support from the entire Moffitt community, staff, visitors, patients, everyone seems to be incredibly appreciative and to benefit from what we do. It's up to me where I spend my time. I try to divide my time throughout the entire hospital, both public areas and all the different inpatient units. But nobody is pressuring me. They, as I say, trust my intuition, trust my training, and trust my work ethic. And it's astonishing to me that we do keep statistics, but they're just general statistics of the numbers of people that we think we've affected on a daily basis. But in all the years I've been doing this and logging those statistics, no one's ever said, gosh, you didn't see enough people on Tuesday or something like that. You know, it's just really, it's a positive, nurturing, supportive atmosphere. The team has been this way from the beginning, and the leadership has had that attitude as well. I can't say enough good things about Moffitt. In and of itself, is an excellent institution. They really truly strive for excellence. They've been in the top 10 cancer hospitals in the country for years. I think they may have dropped to number 12 or something this past year or whatever, but they are they're extraordinary in their desire to be excellent, but also to treat the entire person. There's massage therapy at Moffitt. There's integrative medicine, which includes the massage therapy, acupuncture, yoga at the bedside. And this is really the kicker for me. The arts and medicine program is entirely funded through the Moffitt Foundation. No one's giving, it's not that people are, that it's grant driven or anything, but it comes through money that's been donated, even though it's a line item in the budget. And it's not a cost center. It's not something that, it doesn't earn any money. No one is charged for it. So when I walk up to a patient, I'm literally able to say, hi, I'm Lloyd. I work for the Arts and Medicine Program. It's a free service. I play the upright bass. It's like a giant cello. And would you like to hear some music? It's that straightforward, that simple. They make it easy for us. And I'm so grateful to Moffitt for that.
While he chose to pursue his path with Moffitt Cancer Center, Lloyd's creative life as an artist persists, and like many people who have made similar professional choices, Lloyd found that the work and the relationship he's forged with his patients have helped his creativity to develop and flourish. It has also helped him to redefine the meaning of performance.
Before Moffitt, a performance was a way for me to show myself, to show what I had accomplished, to, I don't know, possibly impress people or possibly and move them in some way. But the job is about not about me, or as little as possible about me. It's about serving the listener, serving the patient. So music as a service activates all these different things in the body and in the brain, everything. When the motivation is, this is a gift, this is a service, and then one sees over and over again, hundreds and eventually thousands of times, the effect that a simple, beautiful tune can have played live for someone in a sensitive way, the effect that that has, it completely changed my idea of what performing is about, what it's for, what its purpose is. So when I go and play for a bunch of bass players at a convention or at one of the workshops that I go to, or if I play at a coffee house or a concert, house concert or something, I just take that same attitude with me. This is a gift I'm trying to give. This is free and relaxed, and there's really no reason for, I just have to trust my body and trust my heart, my mind, and let that happen instead of trying to make something that impresses people.
Keeping in line with his generous spirit, Lloyd shares many of his day-to-day encounters on his blog, which capture moments where he witnesses the impact music has on the people that come through Moffitt.
I think this work is amazing. And just really the same motivation you have, I think, for this podcast is one of the reasons why I share those experiences. I want people to realize how amazing the work is. And if there's most of my Facebook friends, or many of them, are musicians, and many of them are bass players around the world. And I have had such a rewarding and beautiful experience doing this work that sometimes I just can't help but I got to share this particular encounter. I've made a habit out of, I don't do it all the time or even every week, but when something special happens, sometimes I feel like I have to just sit down and write it down, the experience. And so I have some, I don't know, probably a couple of hundred of these little anecdotes. And I write them specifically, purposely in the first person, present tense. I want to give people a feeling of what it's like in that moment to knock on that door, to what it feels like to do that, and just to see what happens. And there's this essence of transformation. This is to me what's astonishing. When someone is, I might knock on a door and someone might shrug their shoulders and say, whatever, if you want. That might be their response to my, can I play for you? And distracted and indifferent. And then within just a few moments of playing, I see this change, this transformation in the way that they're perceiving their environment, that they're perceiving the possibility of actually enjoying something in the moment. And sometimes that triggers other kinds of connections. Remembering the good parts of their life, or memories of other musical experiences they've had, or it may take them to a vacation that they had, or any number of places where their consciousness is now not distracted, but focused on something, on beauty and on hope. I see this as a transformation from sort of indifference and a kind of tunnel vision to remembering beauty and remembering and consequently generating hope. So anyway, that's why I like to share. I just think they're magical moments, these moments of transformation. And I like people to know that that can happen. And that that's, I really believe that that's what music's about. This isn't just Remember Wellness, but it was one of the greatest moments for me that it always sticks in my mind. It was a patient who was in some pain, who was laying in the dark in a private room in the bone marrow unit. So this is a special place because it's larger rooms, very quiet. It's a very intimate. I can just really work one-on-one with someone without any noise or traffic or anything. Their eyes and rooms are, they have to be on isolation, these people. And this man said he had abdominal pain and he just had to lie really still. He would love to hear music, but that he just had to lie really still and, you know, and it probably shouldn't be too loud or anything. And the lights were off and I have all my music memorized, thank goodness. So I don't need to look at any music stand or anything. And I thought, well, what am I going to play? And then I thought about playing this piece my teacher had written, Francois Rabat. And the piece, I don't know why I thought of playing this piece, because the piece starts in the lowest notes of the instrument, ends up in the highest register of the instrument at one point, and eventually travels back down again. And it's pretty dynamic, you know, has a pretty big dynamic range. So, but I just decided to play it all in a whisper. And I had never done that before. And I played so softly that sometimes the notes didn't even fully speak, or maybe a harmonic would happen. And at the end, it was just silence. I'm standing there in this is a pretty semi-dark room. And I just said, I'm not going to move. I'm just going to stand here for a minute. And he began to talk about his experience. And he said, you have no idea where I've been for these last minutes. I just took this incredible journey. And he described all these landscapes he flew over and his journey, his inner journey that he took was absolutely phenomenal to listen to. And he said, and I haven't felt any pain this whole time. And still, I don't feel any. And I just, you know, that was it, you know, I was sold. I was completely blown away by his experience. And I'm convinced.
These encounters with his patients also act as testaments for all of us who find ourselves struggling with our growing sense of despondency and hopelessness with current events. Rather than turning away or getting swallowed by these senses, these testaments offer us a blueprint or guide to help us move forward, take action, or simply redefine hope. Lloyd shares such a moment when a patient revealed to him her own blueprint when he found himself struggling.
I had watched a documentary about essentially the end of civilization as we know it. Anyway, it was called A Life on Our Planet. And I had never seen, really fully comprehended how short the timeline may be for civilization, pure, you know, as we know it. And I know not everyone necessarily agrees with this or buys this or wants to even know about it. But it was about a month after I saw that podcast where a month or two of processing, how do I react to the fact that there may be only 50 to 80 good years left for humanity? And in the end, like you said, it always comes back to what can we do as individuals from moment to moment? And this is what the cancer patients teach me. Over and over and over again, I realized that It finally hit me when I visited a patient in the outpatient chemotherapy unit. I had seen her two or three times. She happened to be a friend of a musician friend, and that's how I knew she was in the hospital. And then I gave her my cell number, which I only do occasionally, so that she could call me when she was, because I have no idea when someone's there as an outpatient. So she called me and I went to see her, and I told her I had seen this documentary, and I didn't know how to process it. I didn't know how to react. How do you react when you're looking at for the potential end of the world as we know it? I couldn't wrap my mind around it. And she said, Lloyd, she said, mine, obviously I have cancer, but I just found out my nephew has been diagnosed with cancer. And this is what I wrote a mantra for him. And this is the mantra. There are no bad days. And now the ordinary becomes the extraordinary. That just, something just broke open for me when she said that. And I realized I've had moments of this kind of feeling of revelation back in the days of doing yoga, that if we could perceive the beauty inherent, all the beauty, you know, all the potential inherent in any one moment, it would almost be enough to be alive for that one moment only. And I think that when people are diagnosed with cancer, they have to look at life that way as much as possible, because they don't know. They simply don't know what's happening, what's coming. So there's a choice. Do I focus on the beauty? Do I focus on these precious moments, or do I go in the other direction of despair? And so that's a choice. Maybe we don't necessarily need to have cancer to have that revelation, you know, to have that. But I believe that that's been, of all the gifts that this work has given me, this is the most important, that these people keep teaching me over and over and over again. Just be alive as possible in the present. Know that you're doing the best that you can. And don't try to control everything.
To find out more on Lloyd's continuing work in Moffitt's Arts and Medicine program and other musical projects, please visit his webpage at www.lloydgoldstein.com or at www.missionartist.org. And again, thank you for joining us at Mission Artist.